I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today's readings are all about what are our standards? What are our core values? Who are we as Christian people living today? The church is asking us to consider this in its choice of the readings from the Scripture. The parable of the Good Samaritan, which followed in the Gospel of Luke right after the core, which we've often used as a creed here in the church, of what's known as the Great Shema, God's generous universal love statement. The Good Samaritan, we probably have known it from the time we're little kids. But we want to put it together today in a way of connecting it with Amos, the prophet, and connecting it with the Paul reading from Paul from Colossians. And of course, this reading of Paul from Colossians is not from the original Paul, but from the second Paul. There are three Pauls. We know from a close reading of Greek that there are three Pauls who have written in the name of Paul in the New Testament. And this is the intermediate Paul who wrote Colossians. The Greek is significantly different than the original seven writings of Paul. And this is a later development, written probably to the Colossians after Paul was dead. And this writing was in the name of Paul to try to get the church to have an understanding of standards. And you can see it's moving towards a rules-based doctrine as opposed to the more freewheeling kind of style of the first Paul. But the core of today is, who are we as Christians? Now, one of the most ancient of engineering devices that was used long before the Jews and used in the building of the pyramids in Egypt and used in other places was a plumb line. And this is my plumb line today. And I chose intentionally to put a CFL, a compact fluorescent light, on the bottom as the weight, because I want us to have a sense of enlightenment by this. But the plumb line is a standard that was used right from the beginning. Early on, as human beings started to construct, they discovered to get that straight line that they wanted, they'd use a plumb line. And that plumb line is used around the world. And we've probably used it ourselves or seen people using it. And now they have, of course, electronic plumb lines that shoot a ray, a signal, a DVD light or something, an LED, I should say, and you can see the reflection. But this is a very good and capable unit. And I've built many stone walls using a plumb line. And they work quite well. But Amos is talking about the plumb line, that God is calling us to have a standard by which we measure and keep the way straight is the plumb line. So the challenge for all of us today is, what is our plumb line? What is the plumb line that we follow in our daily lives as Christian people? What are we doing? And the Good Samaritan starts to put a fine point on the plumb line. For the Good Samaritan, you probably all could recite the story to me without even looking at the scripture. It's that iconic. In fact, in a Bible study earlier today, Carol reminded us that as a nurse in health law, there's a law called the Good Samaritan Law, where health professionals are protected when they make an intervention in an emergency situation, so long as they stay within their area of competency and don't do more than that, they are protected against lawsuits in Canada by what's known as the Good Samaritan Law. So we know the understanding of the Good Samaritan. But who were the Samaritans, and why was this so outstanding in Jesus' time? And we still carry a collective understanding of the Samaritan today in 2016. Samaritans were very much like the Jews. They looked like Jews, they practiced like Jews, except they did not hold the temple to be sacred. They did not hold the temple in Jerusalem to be the pinnacle of faith. They were seen by Jews as being deviants. They were seen by Jews to be not as good as they, because they didn't follow all the laws of Jerusalem. They didn't necessarily go and make sacrifices in Jerusalem. They had their own temple that they would go to in the northern kingdom. And so for devout Jews, the Samaritan was seen as a pariah. Not good enough. Outside, and had fallen away from their understanding of the plumb line. It would be like some people who think the only way to understand the Bible is in the Protestant way of having the Bible being literally true. We, as Anglicans, would be seen as not quite Christian enough. There were pariahs because we don't accept that. And we have four sources of authority. The four sources, I won't ask you to repeat them, but I can tell you, it's not only Scripture, but it's the tradition of the church, the sacraments of the church, and reason. Those are the four corners of Anglican theology. Others don't accept that. And we really love reason. In fact, the General Synod is meeting this week in the East, and it's all about reason as they look at contentious contemporary issues of the church and try to apply their plumb line to what the church will be like as we move forward. A number of people from our diocese are there in that decision-making body today. But what is the standard? Well, the standard in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan is the standard of love, the standard of inclusion. It doesn't matter about all the fine points, but what matters is the overall principle. And so the challenge for us today is, who do we understand as being Samaritans in our world? Who is the Good Samaritan? How do we define that person? And we, as we are experiencing, and I'm sure we've all been shocked by what's happened south of us in the United States this last week about the shootings of people, by both whites and blacks shooting at each other, and what's going on and seeming the unraveling of the fabric of American society, we have to, in the midst of all that, and think, what is the Samaritan for us in Canada in 2016? We have to open our minds to a broader spectrum of inclusion. Jesus calls us to that. And so today I invite you to consider that a Buddhist, a Muslim, a First Nations person, somebody from a broad spectrum, an atheist, all can still be within the spectrum of being the Good Samaritan. Now that may be shocking, but we have to broaden our definitions. We have to understand that Jesus' vision was a broad vision of love and inclusion, not a narrow way. And that our standard, we must start to think about our standard in new ways. We have to get away from religious tribalism and move to more of a sense of universal understanding of love and inclusion. That may be difficult for us individually, but it also will be difficult for others to hear if we say it to them. But it's, I believe, part of the challenge of understanding the Good Samaritan in 2016. And so the challenge for us today, this morning, is who is the Good Samaritan for us now? Who do we often think of as being outcasted, and maybe we have to rethink our judgment of them? Enlighten our plumb line and think in new ways. It's not easy. It's challenging for me. It's challenging for the church. That's why 13 years ago the church made the decision to include an acceptance of same-sex relationships as being part of the whole in the Christian church, in the Anglican tradition. It upset a lot of people. People here, people all over the diocese. And today in the General Synod meeting, they're now looking at, on Tuesday, I believe the vote is, of changing the definition of marriage within the Anglican Church. It is a challenge for everyone. But the challenge is driven by Jesus, challenging us in 2016 in the enlightenment of today, the knowledge that we have today about how people are. What is our story going to be now with everything that we know? And to take that knowledge and apply it to who we are as Christians on the journey. I know it won't be easy, especially if we have lived with a framework that's worked well for us for many years. And now we have new frameworks, new understandings that we must connect with. And so I pray that today, as we receive the sacrament, and we know that we are loved by Jesus, that we are included by Jesus, but that we are then challenged by Jesus to think about who are we now? What is our framework? How do we love? How do we include? Who is the Good Samaritan in our lives? I know it's not easy. I remember starting to think about this when I was a student in college. And somebody, I was driving down the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia, and a car came at me. The guy was out of control, and it was about midnight. And I drove off the road and into a field, a cornfield. It was near Middleton, Nova Scotia. And it was dark and lonely, and I thought, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, I heard these motorcycles come. And these four burly Hells Angel types got off the motorbike. And I thought, I'm really cooked. These guys were wonderful. They helped push my car out of the field. They helped tape a headlight that had fallen off back on, so it was somewhat useful. These guys were magnificent. They were good Samaritans. And ever since then, I've had a whole new opinion and less fear about guys on motorcycles. Girls, too, for that matter. So, the Good Samaritan challenges us to realign our values, realign our framework. And I'm adding to that challenge today. Who do we understand to be the Good Samaritan? And I invite us to re-look at what is enlightening our plumb line as we move forward. By God's grace, let us journey together. Amen.